Psalm 91, from which we read a moment ago, was written by Moses. It was, I believe it was written during the time that he led the children of Israel out of captivity in Egypt to the land of Canaan, the promised land. Three and a half million people traveling the distance about from Detroit to Chicago, about 280, 300 miles. They could have made the journey in about 4 weeks. But God's plan was they make it in about 6 months. He had some things he wanted to teach them along the way. Of course, when we go back and read the story, it took them actually 40 years to make it because of their rebellion. They got up to the promised land but wouldn't go in, and God had to teach them some more lessons during that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But the area that Moses led the Israelites through was a desert. It was a wasteland. It was not a place that you'd go hiking. I mean, the nomads in the area tried to stay away from it. It'd get up to 135 degrees in the daytime, and then it'd go down to below 40 in the nighttime. But God provided everything the people needed. He even provided protection from the temperature. You know, some people think when God led them by the cloud by day that it was just a little bitty cloud. You know, they think about this, the size of that cloud that Elijah's servant saw when he was asking God to let it rain. And his servant said, go look and see if there's a cloud in the sky. And he came back and said, yeah, I see a cloud the size of a fist. Now, it rained a lot from that cloud, but I believe the cloud that overspread the people of Israel as they made that journey from the land of Egypt was a big cloud. A big cloud. And I think all the Israelites, 3.5 million of them, could find shade and coolness from the hot sun under that cloud. Same thing, the pillar of fire by night, I don't think it was just like a torch. I think it was a big pillar of fire. So big enough, in fact, to give warmth to the people that when they traveled at night or when they camped at night, that pillar of fire would give them warmth at night. And those that chose to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, under the cloud that led them by day. And those that chose to dwell under the pillar of fire by night got coolness in the day and warmth in the night. And it wasn't just temperature that God benefited those people by dwelling under his shadow. Okay? We won't take time to read the other verses, but you go and read all of Psalm 91. There's only 16 verses in it, but you'll see that under God's shadow that Moses talked about there in verse 1, God gave them security. He gave them protection. He gave them safety. He gave them deliverance. He gave them victory, and he gave them honor. And so Moses, as he writes this psalm, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what Moses is saying, that's a good place to abide. Under the shadow of the Almighty is a good place to live. Now, our sinful natures don't agree with what Moses said. You see, when we say abiding in the shadow, it implies that someone or something is between the source of light and us. That's how you get a shadow. Something stands between the light. I can see my shadow right here because I am standing between that light and that on the floor where it shows up. And so our human nature says, I don't want to live in the shadow. I don't want something or someone between me and the light. I love the sunlight. And if anybody's going to stand in the light, it's going to be me. I don't want to stand in somebody else's shadow. I want to soak up all the sunshine myself. I want to get the light myself. And it goes against our sinful nature to stand in the shadow. In fact, the word abide takes that into account, because the word abide implies that you make a choice, okay? That you make a choice. The word abide, it has two different meanings. It says, if I decide to abide and make that place my home and find lodging and settle in, That's one meaning. But the other meaning means, no, I don't want to stand in somebody's shadow. I have to stay here, but it's like I'm a prisoner. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be out in the light myself. I'd rather not be under anybody's shadow. And so when Moses says, he that abideth, he's talking about somebody that's made a choice. Somebody that's decided, I'm going to live in the shadow. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to find, make my home there. I know that's the place that God wants me to live. And so that's where I'm going to take up residence. But every single person has a choice. You have a choice whether you abide in the shadow of the Almighty or you get outside of that shadow and stand in the light yourself. Now, what Moses says is you ought to choose to make your home in the shadow. Because you see, most of the time, God calls us to live in the shadow. And you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. And by the way, I'm still in my introduction. I have a 5-point message, and I haven't got to yet. So I'm still in my introduction. But most of the time, God calls us to live in shadows. And let me just give you some examples of what I mean by that. A shadow could be an occupation or a position. Some of you still work. And at work, you abide in the shadow of your boss. Or you abide in the shadow of your supervisor. Or you abide in the shadow that of your foreman, that person that has authority over you. You abide in his shadow. You submit to his rules. You submit to his instructions. You submit to what he tells you to do. And so at work, we abide in the shadow of those that are our bosses. At home, a wife is supposed to abide in the shadow of her husband. Okay? Now, I know some of you might not like to hear this, but the Bible says that wives are to submit themselves to their husband, which is another way of saying that you abide in his shadow. I always tell ladies that have a problem with this, look, if he loves you the way that God says a husband is to love his wife, which means to love her in so much that if the occasion arose that it was either her life or your life, you as a husband would be willing to give your life to save the life of your wife. That's the kind of love that a husband is supposed to have for his wife. That's the kind of love that a husband's love for his wife illustrates the love that Christ had for the church. He loved the church, us, so much that he was willing to give his life for it. And so at home, a wife, as she submits to her husband, lives in her husband's shadow. Children live in the shadow of their parents, okay? Their parents are the authority over them, and they make the rules. They set the boundaries, and the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents." And it's the only commandment with a promise, and then your life will be long, your days upon the earth will be long. And so, children, if they're the kind of children that God wants us to be, we live in the shadow of our parents. Now, a shadow could also be an institution. Okay, it could be the home is an institution that casts a shadow that we live under as husbands, as wives, as children. It's a place where children are trained. It's a place where we learn to love. The church is another institution that casts a shadow. Here, we don't take the place of the home. We supplement what the home does. We supplement the instructions. We supplement on how to love one another. Again, those things that are taught, we live in that shadow. Sometimes a shadow is a sickness. Sometimes a shadow is a grief or a sadness that God allows to come into our life. And we live in the shadow. For example, he said, I've got a thorn in my flesh. And he went to God. He went to God, the Bible says, 3 different times. And he said, God, and most people think it was some kind of sickness, either epilepsy or a speech impediment or something like that. But Paul went to the Lord and said, and he went three times. He said, Lord, if you just take this away, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better church planner. I could be a better missionary. I could be so much better for you. And God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to take it away, because it's in your weakness that you depend on me. I want you to depend on me. And so I'm not going to take it away. I want you to live under my shadow. I want you to live under my instruction. I want you to live under my protection. So I'm not going to take it away. And Paul says, okay, I'm going to decide to live here then. I'm going to glory in my infirmities, because in my weakness is where I find strength in my God. So a shadow could be any of those things. Now, I have 5 points. Here we go. Number one, it's God's intent that oftentimes we live in shadows. He knows that we cannot handle the direct light. And so he puts us in shadows for our own good. Can you imagine a little, Ellie's tree, is Ellie still back there? She's 3 years old today. Can you imagine Ellie not living in the shadow of mom and dad? Can you imagine little Ellie deciding, getting up this morning and said, well, I'm going to decide what I'm going to do today. I'm going to decide what I eat today. I'm going to decide, you know, I'm going to make all the decisions today. I don't know about you, but I know my little granddaughter, who's just 2, I would not want her making her decisions about what she was going to eat and where she was going today. I have a grandson that's 10. I wouldn't want him making decisions about what he's going to eat. Some of you have grandchildren in their 30s, and you don't want them making those decisions. But God wants us to live in shadows at certain times. In fact, in most times of our lives, he said, look, I want you to live under this shadow that this authority cast, or this institution cast, or this sickness cast, because that's the best place for you to live. That's the place where you can learn. That's the place where you'll trust me. And so his intent is that we live in the shadows. Point number two, if that's God's intent, make yourself at home. Make yourself at home in the shadows. Unpack, settle in, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, children ought to enjoy their parents. They ought to enjoy their parents. And I think they ought to enjoy their parents regardless of how old you are. I don't care if you're 50 and your parents are 80, you still ought to enjoy your parents. And you say, well, I'm glad I'm 50 years old and I don't have to live in the shadow of my parents anymore. Well, where do you find that in the Bible? Where's the age requirement for children obey your parents? Children obey your parents till you're 21. Children obey your parents until you're 30. Children obey your... It doesn't say that. Not in my Bible. Maybe you've got a revised standard and it has an age limit in there. But my Bible doesn't have an age limit. It says children obey your parents. And again, you know, when our children get older, we ought to think about the instruction that we give them. And we ought to think about how, you know, we intervene in their life. I mean, there ought to be more intervention when they're little and when they're teenagers and when they're 40 or 50 years old. But they still cast a shadow on our life. And we ought to enjoy that shadow. We ought to enjoy it. I mean, I know I went through my teenage years, and there were times I drew up my back, and I didn't want mom and dad telling me what to do. I didn't want to live under their rules. Now, it wasn't too often, because my dad had a razor strop, and he wasn't afraid to use it. But there was times, and I look back on that on those times and say, "What? I wasted that time." Most of the time, I enjoyed the limitations. I enjoyed the rules. Because, and as I look back on it now, I know that my mom and dad loved me. They were just trying to protect me. And so they kept me under their shadow. And so, make yourself at home in the shadow. Hey, if you don't get along with your boss at work, learn to get along. Say, preacher, you don't know him. He's a jerk. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Submit yourself to the authority that's over you. Learn to get along with him or her. Okay? Amen. That's right. Make yourself at home in the shadow. Make yourself at home in the sickness or the grief that may be a shadow in your life. We want to be better, and we pray for people to get better. We pray for health. We pray for energy for people. But you know, sometimes God says, I want you just like you are. I want you to ail every now and then. I want you to be weak every now and then, because I want you to depend on me. I want you to depend on me. So make yourself at home in the shadow. Number three, you won't be happy casting shadows. If you say, nope, I'm not going to abide in the shadows, I'm going to get out in the sunlight, I will cast my own shadows. Let me remind you some people that tried to do that. I'll take you back to Adam and Eve. They weren't content to live under God's shadow in the Garden of Eden. When the snake came, the serpent came and tempted Eve, said, go ahead and eat the fruit. God doesn't mean you'll really die. What God knows is you're going to be as smart as he is. You'll be just like a god. And so Eve ate the fruit, gave some to Adam. Why? Because they didn't want to live in God's shadow. They wanted to make their own shadow. Cain said, I don't want to live under God's shadow. I don't want to live under the shadow over my mom and dad. I know they said when we sacrifice to God, we're supposed to offer a blood sacrifice. But I spent all this time raising all this good produce. I'm going to bring this kind of offering to God. He didn't want to live under the shadow of God's commandment. He didn't want to live under the things that his mom and dad taught him. So he decided it on his own. I'll offer to God whatever I want. And you remember what happened to Cain. In the next chapter of the Bible, it says, my punishment is greater than I can bear, as God cast him out from his presence. Think about those men that rose up in revolt of Moses, Korah, Dathan, and Amnon. They said, no, Moses, God's not just called you to lead this people, he's called us too. And so we're not going to abide under your shadow. We're not going to follow your leadership. We're not going to follow your instructions. We can decide all that for ourselves. What happened to them? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Just swallowed them. Think about King Saul. He lived under the shadow of God and the shadow of Samuel. And when Samuel said, hey, I want you to go fight this people and I want you to kill everything. I want you to kill all the animals. I want you to kill all the people. And Saul went. He won the victory. He says, I'm not going to abide under Samuel's shadow or God's shadow. I'm going to save the king. And I'm going to save all these animals because we can offer these animals to sacrifice as God. And when he brought those animals back and Samuel went out to meet him, said, and Samuel said, Saul, did you do what God said? Saul said, I sure did, yes, sir. And Samuel said, then why do I hear all these animals? You're supposed to kill them all, and here's the king. Why didn't you kill him? And Saul said, well, I thought we could offer the sacrifice, these animals, as sacrifices to God. And Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. I could give you other examples, but I won't for sake of time. Two more points. Number four, in the shadows, we can have our own light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is the light of the world. As we live in the shadows, we have the light from his word and the light from Jesus himself. You won't have trouble making yourself at home in the shadow if you stay in this book and stay close to Jesus. Amen. And then point number five. This is the most important one of all. Make sure that you're living in the shadow of the cross. Amen. Make sure you're living in the shadow of the cross. Yeah, see? You have the right. You can step out from the shadow of the cross and you can step out into the light and you can say, I'm going to make peace with God on my own. I can make peace with God on my own. I can be good enough. Or I can join the church and I can get baptized and I can take communion and I can turn over a new leaf in my life and I can do everything. I can live a good life and I can make peace with God. Let me ask you the question this morning. How good do you have to be in order to make peace with God? Let me answer it for you. You have to be perfect. You have to keep the law in every point, every commandment, not only the letter of the commandment, but the spirit of the commandment as Jesus defined in the New Testament. And I'll tell you something this morning, no human being is capable of doing that. Amen. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. So you can step out into the, you can step out from the shadow of the cross. You can step out into the light. You can look to heaven and say, God, I'm going to make peace with you all on my own. I'm going to be good enough, and you're going to accept me. And God said, no, I won't. Because you can't keep all the law. You just can't do it. But if you get under the shadow of the cross, if you get under the shadow of what Christ did for us on Calvary, it's a different story. You see, on the cross, Jesus paid for every one of our sins. He suffered our death, our separation of God for us. Under the shadow of the cross, we come to God through Him. And by the way, that's the only way He said we could come. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Under the shadow of the cross, all of our sins are washed away and forgiven. Under the shadow of the cross, we're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Under the shadow of the cross, we stand before God justified, just as if we've never sinned. And so I say with Moses this morning, abiding, choosing to live under the shadow of the Almighty is a good place to live. It's a good place to live. Why don't you decide this morning that that's where you're going to live? You see, Christians here need to make that decision. A lot of times we want to get out from underneath of the shadows that God has put in our life. They're there for our good. They're there for our protection. They're there for our safety. They're there for our deliverance. They're there for our victory. They're there for our honor. And yet we don't want to live in somebody else's shadow. We want to get out in the light ourselves. You can make that choice, but you won't be happy. And you won't get all the benefits that God promises for those that live under the shadow. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, why don't you get under the shadow of the cross? Why don't you come to Jesus and tell Him this morning that you know you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that you believe that when He hung on the cross, He took all of your sin upon Himself and paid the price. If you come to Him this morning and trust Him, He'll dress you in His righteousness. He'll forgive every one of your sins, wash them away, and you can be right with God. But that's the only way. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way. The way of the cross leads home. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being the kind of God that you are, that you care enough about us, that you do put us in different shadows as we live our life. And those shadows are for our good. Just like you cooled the Israelites down in the heat of the day and kept them warm at night, so you bless us in our life as we live under your shadow. And so I pray as Christians this morning, you would help us to decide that's where we want to live. That's where we want to abide. That's where we want to make our home. That's where we want to take up residence, under the shadow of the Almighty. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that's never put themselves under the shadow of the cross. They're still trying to get right with you some other way instead of Jesus. Help them to see this morning, and unmistakably help them to see this morning that their way won't work. It's a way that leads to death and to hell. And the only way that leads to life and to heaven is the way Jesus Christ. Help them to come to Him this morning. Please bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.